We're going to go into our study on the heroes of the Bible, and today we have Simeon and Anna, and you know, which brethren call that they're obscure characters. There's only a few verses that talk about them, and when I first saw them on the list, like Simeon and Anna, so I started thinking about all the couples in the scriptures, in the New Testament. Simeon and Anna, then it occurred to me, Simeon and Anna, they're not a married couple. and so that's kind of how obscure that they are. But very, very important to our Lord and what it is that he brought forth. And so we'll look into that a little bit and hopefully get some encouragement, get to look at some things and to think about some things. Because I like for you to think about, because these were elderly. One about to die, and another very aged. And so I'm sure you can think of some people that you know that have been aged in the church and who have affected you in some way. So think about that. So if we have time, you know, we might have opportunity for you to maybe to mention someone that that affected your life at the end, perhaps, of their lives. But before we go any further, we'll go ahead and have a prayer. Andrew.
Would bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning grateful to you for the opportunity we have to gather here today to reflect upon your word and upon your love for us and really your creation. We ask that as we look into the story of Simeon and Anna, that we can hopefully gain encouragement, that we can look into their expectation for your son and the salvation that he would bring, the consolation that he would bring to the world, that we could enjoy peace, that we can enjoy hope of eternal life. We'd ask that you would be with us as we spend time this morning, not just in studying your word, but in honoring you and praising you through our time that we have here this morning, that you will be glorified in the things that are said and done, that we will be encouraged and we can encourage one another. We'd ask that you would be with those of our number who are unable to be with us, those who are sick, and those who we continue to remember for the challenges, their health challenges, that you would continue to be with them and those that are caring for them, that you would grant them good health, that they can be returned to our number. Also for those who are traveling, that you would be with them and allow them to return to us in safety. We'd ask that you would continue to be with the work here as we strive to not only be obedient to your will, but to share it with others, that they can have the hope that we have. We'd ask that you would go with us, that you'd forgive us of our sins as we acknowledge those things before you. It's these things we pray through your son, Jesus. Amen.
And so we've had a couple of very good classes in the study, and I'm sure all of them are going to be. it's very encouraging, I think, to take some time to go through topics like this, characters, or and for others to get involved. That's encouraging to all of us. And so we're looking forward to all of the classes that we're going to have coming up. But Simeon and Anna. Luke chapter 2 and verses 25 through 38 is pretty much all that that we see spoken of them. And let me go there and just begin to look at what we have. So in Luke 2 and 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And so this is the occasion of, we know as when it is that there was the parents of Jesus were keeping the law and bringing him forth to the temple and to make an offering. And so here they bring him. And there is in Jerusalem this particular individual whose name is Simeon, and he was just and devout. And so what do we see there with him as far as that he was just and devout? Because we see, I think, the same thing with Anna, though it doesn't say that, but she is also, isn't she? And so why is that? How do we know How can we tell from Scripture here that these two individuals, it says of one, and then in verse 36 and 37, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Actions. These were people who obeyed God. They sought out closeness with God, and they were committed. They were devoted to what it is that they were doing. You know, they were committed, and as was said, you could see it in their actions. You see it in your actions by being here this morning to hear this class. And so we can see by our actions many times, and that's not to say that someone who's not here I'm not judging them, because God knows their situation. You know, I'm not judging anyone who's not being committed, but we can see by actions commitment. And so when we come to worship God, when we do those things that are pleasing to God, committed. And so not all perhaps the same commitment. We have varying degrees of commitment. We have Gail. He's committed to evangelism because he's out there on Saturdays and he's talking to people. And we see fruit of that, of his actions and what it is that he does there. And so there's degrees of commitment. But these two individuals, they were just and avowed. They were devoted to what it is that they believed. And it showed by their actions. Matthew. Yeah, you can live a life that is righteous and doing what is right, but you may not necessarily be totally committed to some of the other things that's concerning godliness and what God's will is for us in our life. And so, you know, I could look to myself and I could say, yeah, I'm just but am I totally committed to all the things that I should be? And I think if we look, and we might realize that there are some things that I would like to do, but there are things that get in the way. And so it's, what do I commit myself to? What am I committed to? Am I committed to the urgings of the Holy Spirit? Because these people, they were led by the Spirit of God. And so that's another thing we want to look at as far as how much are we led by the Spirit of God and doing the things that's God's will? And could we be doing more, or should we be doing more than what it is that we're doing now? You know, should we be more committed, say, to the church, to the working of the church? Should we be more committed to that than what it is that we are? And that's just questions that we can ask ourselves as we look, because that's the thing that we want to do, is look to these heroes and see what they did and why. And they did the things that they did by faith in God. And so we can examine our faithfulness to God. If we're faithful, then we're going to be committed. We're going to become just and devout. And so we're looking for Christ's coming, just as they were looking for his coming. They was looking for him to come, the Messiah of Israel. We're looking for him to come back and to set things straight in this world. And so we're looking just as they were looking. And so they had a commitment to that, and then we look as far as to our commitment, and it's something that can grow over time, over the years. It's something that can grow. My commitment didn't start off very strong in the church, but it grew over time. And then sometimes it waned and wasn't as strong as it was before. Sometimes there are things that got in the way that hindered me, and things that I overcame and things that I may not have overcome. We go through changes as we go through life, but we always examine ourselves where we are. Where are we in our walk in Christianity? And the thing that we always want to look to is that we're looking for the coming of the Messiah, and we want to be ready, and we want to be as he would have us to be. And so these two people, they were committed, and they spent time in the temple, and they both were looking for Christ's coming. They both were looking for the Messiah. As we are looking and we spend time in the house of God, and that's our in our thoughts that we want to serve him till he comes. We want to show his love till he comes. We want to remember what he did for us until he comes. And so with our commitment, we ask ourselves, where are we and who are we with? Because these two, they wanted to be where the Messiah was so that they could be with him. And so we ask ourselves, where are we? And do we have that same mindset, and how strong is it to be where it is that we should be in Christ? And so we are always looking to work out our salvation with a certain amount of fear and trembling, that there should be concern when it is that we see and know that we're not doing what it is that God would have us to do or to be. And so these are they're just very good examples of ones who love God and sought God out. It goes on, I'll read a little bit more about Simeon. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And then he said certain things. I'll go ahead and read what he said. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So a question I have is, what's the peace? Why does it say, now you are letting your servant depart in peace? What's his meaning there? And why is it perhaps that he may not have had that peace? Why would the people be yearning for the Messiah? Exactly. Yeah, they were under Roman rule, which they definitely did not like. And the rule was heavy at some times, took away their law, and they had to abide by Roman law. They were taxed on the Romans heavily. And knowing that it was about the time that the Messiah should come, that was their desire, and it would have been a peace. But for Simeon, yes, he had a concern for his nation. I don't think it was just the fact that there was like a Romans, like, yeah, there was the people who, because of the Romans, they wanted a Messiah to come, a Savior to save them from that. But for Simeon, I think he would have looked at the sinfulness of the time of the nation. Both those people who were wickedly in sin and the Pharisees who were wickedly religiously, and their religion affected people adversely. And so he had a concern for the nation, and would have had a concern for the even for the world, because he says, you know, I can depart in peace now. He's been looking for this coming, and the Lord has told him that he wasn't going to die until he was able to see it. And so I think there that we see that he had a concern, and he had this desire, and God gave it to him. God benefited him with that. Is it possible that he was past the time that he wanted to die? Now, it doesn't say that. And I've known people that had the peace that they were ready to go, and they didn't have that desire like me. I'm not ready to go. I want to stay a little while longer. And so perhaps, though, I will get to that point where it is that I'm ready. I'm at peace now. I can go. And so his peace was seeing the salvation of God, and being able to hold him up in his arms and to bless God in that. Yeah, because him being an older man, and perhaps he saw, as I think has been said, that he's beginning to wane, but it hasn't happened yet, so it's got to be close. And I can't help but look at this world and some of the things that are going on and thinking, it must be close, the Lord coming back. Even at some of the things I see, it's like, well, we need it now because of what seems like may be about to take place. And but we may have to go through some things before, just like the Israelites did, before it takes place. And so we see that he blesses God. God is the one who had gave him this and led him to the temple at the very time that they were going to bring the child Jesus in. And then with Anna coming in right at the time when it is that Simeon had blessed God and then blessed Mary and Joseph. And just at the right time. And God is able to do that, to lead us where we need to be at the right time, always, and we're to trust him in that. And and I looked at how it is that he led them to who, especially Simeon, who he needed to be with, and right before he died. And Acts in 4:13, we see that they recognize that these people had been with Jesus, you know, the disciples, because of their boldness. And when he saw the salvation of God, I think that just the boldness of it caused them to speak and to bless God and then to bless Mary. And just the goodness of what it is that he was seeing. But along with that, when he blessed them, he said to Mary, his mother, in verse 34, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many may be revealed." And so, at the seeing of God's salvation, it brought him peace. But he knew that that wasn't going to bring peace to everyone. Because Jesus became a target to those who were unbelievers then as well as today, that people they reject him, they don't trust in him, they don't believe, and they still castigate him just like they did in his time. And so just seeing as far as that, how it is that he received peace, not everyone will, but we ourselves, how do we see him? The more we see him as God's salvation in our lives, and that we promote that every day, the more peace that we're going to have. The more we can be those that would become like these Simeon and Anna. The more it is that we are led by the Spirit, the more it is that we will become more like the Lord Jesus, because the more we're with him, the more we'll be faithful and like him. And so we want to have that as far as where it is that we assemble ourselves together. We study the Word of God. We speak up the Word of God. We meditate upon it. We take something that we need for ourselves, and we work on that based on God's Word. We build up our faith with God's words as we look to it, and perhaps we see something that in our life that maybe there's a weakness, and we want to build that up. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so we hear, we study, we read, we meditate upon, and we obey it, and we are able to overcome. So any thoughts thus far with the things that are here? And Joseph and Mary, they marveled at things which were spoken of him. Yet they had already known she had been spoken to by an angel, just the many things that had transpired with John. But yet she still marveled. And you would, because like was said, there's not an expectation. This is routine that you go and you do this and then you return back home. But something happened that they weren't expecting, and they marveled at it, that here this man that perhaps they had never met is speaking this about Jesus, that he is the salvation of God. And so, yes, great when it is that we gain something that perhaps we didn't even expect, when it is that we're obeying God, as just was said. Can we be just and devout without being led by the Spirit of God? Is that something that we just can obtain on our own.
How can I be righteous without knowing what's right?
Right, knowing what's right. And being led to do that by the faithfulness that we put, invest in what it is that we hear, and what it is that we see. And so we need that. God has given us his word. He's given us the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. And when we are in God's words, then that's what it is as far as that these the words can be brought to our memory of what it is that we ought to be doing in any given circumstance, in anything that we're dealing with. And so I need that because my memory is not so good, because I just studied Luke and I had totally forgotten about Simeon and Anna, you know, and thinking that perhaps they were a married couple. But and so my memory, it just hadn't just got bad. My mom used to call me, when I was very young, the absent-minded professor. But yeah, she had seen that movie, I guess. that's something that I deal with. But I know that there are times when it is that something is happening, and you know, the word is brought up into my memory of what it is that how I should deal with that, and I'm grateful for that, being led in that way. Now, Anna, when she comes in, you know, she's the daughter of a man of the tribe of Asher, and she's of a great age, and at least 84 years old, depending how his description is interpreted. But she seems like she's at least 84 years old, and she didn't depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him all those who look for redemption in Israel. And so here she's a prophetess, and she sees the salvation of God, and she begins to evangelize. She wants to tell everybody about who this is. And so as we look and we seek to be like the example of these two, the example we see in Anna, she wants to tell everybody about Jesus. Everyone who looked for redemption, she was going to tell them about Jesus. You know, she didn't go out. She said this was done in Jerusalem. She didn't go out all over the world. But where she was, she talked about Jesus and that he's the way of redemption. You know, and I think that what we see in our world today, there's going to be more people looking for that. There's going to be people looking for answers. And we are the ones that have those answers because we've seen God's salvation. And we can tell them, we can point them to this redemption, that it's in Christ. Because some people, they may begin to think, well, you know, it's in the president, or it's in the Congress, or it's in some religious person they may think, but it's in Jesus. And that's what it is that we can point them and to show them. Now, she was praying and fasting. Now, night and day, it says. Why? And I know that there can be different answers for this, but why? What was the effect of, or is the effect of this? Because you look at them, and there are people who have continued on in spiritual strength for a period of time to their old age. How do they get there and keep the strength that they have? Prayer. If we're seeking to endure, that's something as far as that we have to continue in prayer and sometimes fasting. Because sometimes the need is going to be greater than other times. And so this gives us endurance when it is that we want to be strong and continue in it. it takes time of God. And he will give us what it is that we need. But, of course, we have to think and wonder, well, what it is that hinders us from this prayer? Because sometimes, you know, we may get in, there's other things, this world about us that we sometimes find ourselves so involved in to the point that it takes away from our time with God. And so we have to recognize those things, realize it, and strive to be like this woman, Anna, you know, prayer and fasting night and day. She was a woman who she wasn't concerned about a man. She was concerned about her God. She spent time with her God. That's who she wanted to be with. I believe that's why it gives us that she was with her husband for 7 years. The rest of the time, she was with God. That was her desire. Okay, we have marriages, we have families, children, and there are things that we have to involve ourselves in with that. But still, there's going to have to be a certain amount of time that we're with God. And that's going to be, a big part of that is going to be in prayer. Now to the point, we don't have a lot of time, but people that have affected us and seeing their faithfulness. And we have those living amongst us that we see that are faithful. And I like to think of ones that that have gone on. And for me, here in this congregation, Tom Senior and Susie, old and feeble, but we saw them continue. They strove into the end, wanting to be with God and wanting to be with God's people and wanting to serve God. And that's the way I want to be. Just striving, like it speaks of Jacob, worship leaning on his staff. He had to prop himself up, but he still worshiped God. And in another congregation, an individual that I want to speak about, and I may have already, so you may be hearing this again, but Miss Hattie, it was an elderly woman in the congregation. Matter of fact, I was baptized at her house because she opened the home often, and she had a carport, and she had the baptistry there. That's where I was baptized. And she and about five of her daughters had gotten baptized. So she had raised a good family, and she was not able to do a lot in the church. You know, she never got a driver's license, so she couldn't go out and drive and doing the work because there were a lot of the not only men but women that were doing the work, going out and seeking a loss. But she bought a car for her daughters so that they could do it. She couldn't do it, but she was searching to see, well, what can I do? And that's what she was able to do. She was able to buy them a car, and they went and did the work. And what amazed me as I saw this, that this was a poor congregation. A lot of the people in this congregation were on was receiving help from the government. But she bought that car, and they went out, and this wasn't no fine car. But they were happy to have it, and they would go and pick up people. And I'd see them when they'd come in, and we had a non-member class, and they would have towels to keep over the laps to keep them from getting wet. But those people would come in, and they'd hear the gospel and get baptized, and that was amazing. She the couple that went there and established the church once her and her daughters had gotten baptized. They were young. I think he was only about 5 years in the faith at the time I was baptized, and he had been there 2 years. And so they were young. And she was an elderly woman, and she knew some things about just things with medicine and different things. But this young woman from Montana, she was like, she heard her say something, and she reproved her and said, because she thought that was just superstition. And she reproved her kind of harsh right there before everyone else, like, you know, don't talk about that stuff. And Miss Hattie, she just humbled herself down and said she just took it, and she was just so graceful in it. When I saw that, I said, I don't have that. I wouldn't have taken that like that. I'm stubborn, and when I think I'm right, it's hard to move me. But I saw what she had, and I wanted it. And I prayed for that, to have that. And God has, he's helped me out a great deal. You know, where it is that I'm willing to be humbled and show grace. That's not me. That's from him. And so I don't know if anyone else has anything as far as it, but she greatly, and whenever it is as far as it, I find myself being humbled and having to be gracious, I think of her. And that was a time when it is that I saw that and I wanted it. And God has helped me with it. So can anyone think of someone, an older person, and their faithfulness and the way it is perhaps they've affected you and your Christian growth, or something that you just saw the faithful individuals, kind of like Simeon and Anna in their old age. We're just about out of time, so we don't have a lot of time. But think about that. Think about those people that have influenced you, examples that you've seen, because, yeah, we've got great examples in the scriptures, but God gives us examples amongst ourselves. And, you know, when we're thinking about brethren, don't leave out our elderly brethren. You know, give some thought to them. Give prayer. They need prayer. I'm getting to the point where it is that I can, you know, with some of the times when I have pains, I can, you know, they come and go. But some brethren, they have them, and they continue the older they get. So think about them in your prayer. Think about them when you're making phone calls. Perhaps even invite them over to spend some time, because they are a great part of the body of Christ. And there is learning that we can get from the wisdom of the years that they have lived in Christianity. And God gives some the physical strength to be able to come when they desire that. Some he doesn't. But they, in their homes or wherever they are, they can still pray. They can still seek out God. They can do just whatever it is that they can. And that's the thing. Not just to be home and just, woe is me, I can't do anything, but if they can just say a prayer. All right, then let's just prepare for our worship, and I remember these things, and I remember the other brethren that are going to be up here giving lessons and for their insight and strength, and that God be pleased and we be affected by those things.